You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
Just stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспуте, там субъекты секса.
Hablamos de los sex.
В компаниях, но мы говорим о
информации.
To stimulate your thinking. Welcome back to Intellectual Erection. I'm your host, Patrick. I'm a little sick, but not as sick as this episode. What? You weren't even ready for that. And you're not even ready for this episode with Megan.
My best friend and we're in love with each other. And she says it all the time, and I say it all the time. And we've decided that we're getting married.
We're going to be talking about a lot of interesting things. You know what you could do is just read the description of the episode before you listen to it. And you could be like, oh, okay, that's what this episode's about. I'm super interested, as you should be, about every episode that I put out. Because they're all fantastic and I talk to wonderful humans. And you don't even know what we have in store for you coming up. I have a few very exciting episodes. I'm excited. You should be excited. Everyone get excited. I'm sick and I'm still excited. Anyhow, yeah, I won't hold you up. I know you're busy. So as always, listen, like, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with...
Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell our audience what you do? I don't know if that's relevant, but you can. You can make something up.
Oh.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm not that creative. I'm a personal shopper at a secondhand clothing store.
Wait, what is a personal shopper?
I shop for people in the store. So they'll make appointments with me, and then I go through, pick whatever I think will work for them, their body type and all that. They come in, try it on, and they leave with whatever they want.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
a good time.
So if I walked into your store, what would you recommend for me?
Well, it depends. It starts with like a survey you have to fill out. And then once I see the information on that and like any inspiration and stuff, then I just go through and start making outfits.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I'll come by and get a little survey done.
Do it.
Okay. Let's dig in. So we are going to be talking about a bunch of things that are part of what I call the sex positive communities.
Mm-hmm.
And some of which you navigate.
Yeah.
Because you're everywhere. I see you everywhere.
It's true.
So it's about time we did. It's about time we did this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What part of the sex positive communities do you sort of navigate before we get to my first question?
I don't know. I kind of float throughout a lot of them and just kind of here and there. I don't even know. Just I'm everywhere, as you say. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen you at fetish events, kink events, burner events, what I consider polyam events.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that. You and I have a small bone to pick at.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
Going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But first, the origin question. This is what I ask everybody who comes on the show to give me kind of an origin. It's a two-parter, and you can choose to ignore the first part of this question. First, it's basically where did this all start? If the first part of this question would be if there was a very early sort of childhood experience that you had where you first became aware of sex and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It usually happens for people around like 6 or 7. They see something in the media. I'm always curious about that because for me it's a fascinating story of how people just first come to experience sex in the world. If you have that kind of story, I would love to hear it.
Okay.
If you don't, or you don't want to share that kind of story, you could talk about how you got the next step of the question, which is how you got into these communities.
Okay. Well, to answer the first question, when I was younger, I would just like watch TV all the time. And I always had nightmares and stuff like that. So I would never go to sleep at regular times. So I'd be up and like flipping through the channels. And obviously porn comes on at some point in the nighttime when
obviously
children are supposed to be asleep. So I used to just flip through and then look at whatever was interesting, usually porn, and that's how it started. I was probably like grade school, like grade five. grade five.
That would make you 9 or 10,
something like that.
Yeah. Do you remember at all what was on TV?
Oh yeah, I still, like, I found some of the old stuff that I used to watch, like, mainly movies that were on Showcase or
whatever. So it was, like, softcore porn.
It was, yeah. It wasn't anything too crazy, but, yeah. And
any specific titles?
Oh, I can't remember my favorite one. It's not even really porn. It just was very shocking to me when I was younger. But it's this, I think, Swedish movie about these two coming-of-age girls, and, like, one everybody hates, and the other one's, like, a super popular kind of, like, slutty girl, and they end up falling in love, and they're, like, 14. And I remember that was my favorite movie, and I actually rewatched it, like, maybe a couple months ago, because I just, like, Googled, like, Swedish movie with teenage lesbians, right. And I just, like, looked through until I could remember what the actresses looked like, and...
Okay, so that was the first kind of introduction you had, and then what happened that got you kind of into the sex positive communities? I assume that was much later.
Yes, that was actually quite recent.
Really?
Yeah, within the last 5 years.
That's a good chunk of time, though.
True, but...
like, if we'd been dating for 5 years, you wouldn't be like, this is my recent boyfriend.
No, but I feel like the whole story of, like... where I was to now, I feel like it's very late in the game in a way. But basically the way I got into the whole community was I went to a rave with my old boss. And
vintage store type boss or a different kind of boss?
No, when I worked at like this corporate shitty store that...
Yeah.
Shitty. But me and my one boss were like, we ended up being really close and friends, and she invited me to kind of like a Burning Man thing. She's in art, and so is her partner, and they made like a huge kaleidoscope for Burning Man. And so she invited me to this party, and I went, and they were working, so I was just kind of like there by myself. And a girl came up to me and was like, let's dance. And I was like, all right. So we danced, and she's like, you're awesome. You should come to the beach tomorrow. And I was like, sure, I haven't been to the beach in Toronto before. Like, yeah. And went to the beach. It ended up being Hanlon's. I had never been to a nude beach or anything like that before. And I met a bunch of people. It ended up being a big group meetup for, a big part of the poly community and stuff like that. So I met a whole bunch of people, and that's actually when I learned about polyamory, because I was really into one of the guys that was there, and then realized that I was hanging out with his girlfriend. But she was like, yeah, go for it, we're poly. And I was like, okay, I'm Megan, but sure.
Good one.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's how it started. Oh, and then they took me to Oasis, but they coded it as a house party.
What?
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's a house party. This was another person there. I was like, oh, there's a house party later, like, tonight. Do you want to come? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, who doesn't want to go to a house party?
Yeah, but it was a naked house party.
Yeah, at Oasis.
Yeah, a club. And I was like, okay, whose house is this?
Well, I mean, technically they're not lying because the building is an house. Old house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a large house that was formerly a bathhouse.
Yeah.
And is now... also a type of bathhouse, but for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you got suckered? No, not suckered.
That was all one weekend.
One weekend?
Yeah.
Was it
boom,
good,
boom, boom.
One good weekend.
It was a great weekend. And I had just gotten out of an engagement.
Engagement?
I was supposed to be married. Yeah.
Wow.
And I had, like, broken off that, and I was actually going to Vancouver 2 weeks later. So I do this thing every once in a while where I just say yes to things that sound interesting when there's a big pivot in my life. Mm. So that weekend was a weekend of yes. And that's how it started.
Saying yes to things. So you dodged a bullet. You were engaged.
Yes.
To be married.
Yep.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I talk to on this show are divorcees that ended up in this position, namely navigating sex positive communities, because they had a bit of that life and they're like, you know what, it's not for me. And fair enough, they tried these things and for some of them it stuck, so they're like, this is for me. Polyamory, you know, kink, BDSM, fetishes, all of it. So for you, you kind of skipped the whole mess and the whole rigmarole
ish.
Well, I mean, presumably there was a relationship that you had to cut off because nobody gets engaged after.
Yeah,
I mean, unless that was part of another yes weekend.
No, that was like a sure, why not situation. I was 17 when I first got engaged.
Wow.
So I was engaged from 17 till about 22.
Was this person older?
No, same age as me.
Same age?
Yeah.
Okay. So my second question was going to be about grooming, but if they're the same age, I guess it's like, what are they called? High school sweethearts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw. Yeah. Were they heartbroken? Who ended it?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. Like a couple months before the wedding.
Good job.
Yeah. Got my dresses, though. I still love them. They're in my house. They're my mom's. And I'm like, yes.
Do you still talk to this human?
Oh, no.
No.
No, no, no.
Would they talk to you?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well.
Well, let's bury that one. And move on to something else. Okay, so this weekend you are at the beach, Hanlon's, meet a bunch of polyam folks, and they invite you to Oasis, couched as a house party of sorts with nudity. And that's how you got involved in this mess.
Yes.
So from that point, what parts of the sex positive communities have kind of been appealing to you, and where have you navigated? So when I say this, I mean polyamory, kink, fetish, BDSM. What else am I missing here? Something. Just if I'm missing something and it comes in through conversation.
Really? All of those I've kind of been through in one way or another.
Is there anyone that you lean more towards than the others?
Not really. Because I feel like I go and I'm interested in these things for mainly the like people that are in these communities, not necessarily the thing that it is. Although I do like the things that those are.
activities.
Yeah, I find that I go mainly because like I either want to see friends or make certain connections with people or trust people to do certain things with. So it really just depends, and I kind of like rotate around pretty often throughout each kind of.
Okay, so I'll ask you specific questions about each one then. And then we'll pry those stories out of you.
Okay.
No, but seriously, before we get to that, that bone to pick with you.
Oh, yes.
It's a good bone. Let's pick at the bone. Last time I saw you, I said something about interview, this and that, polyamory. And you said that that's not your preferred term for the way that you explore relationships. Mm-hmm. And you said?
I said I use the term like non-monogamy instead of being polyamorous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said because polyamory does not envelop the way that you kind of feel like you fit into this world.
Exactly.
So I've learned a little something since then. So here's my take. Mm-hmm. My thing was that I use polyamory as an umbrella term to kind of refer to all sorts of relationships that are non-monogamous. Mm-hmm. And I say this, and I enjoy the term polyamory more so because I don't like the idea of non-monogamy, because it's a negation of a normative standard, namely monogamy. And I don't want to be a non-something, and I don't want to give monogamy the illusory pretense of being the standard by any means, other than the fact that it's a social construct. It's a thing that exists, but it's not normal, natural, or necessary. It's just a thing that exists. Yeah. But by calling it non-monogamy, we're kind of saying we're just not that. We're deviants. So I don't really like that term, and I wish it was a better term, but I do realize that non-monogamy encompasses several types of relationships that don't exist in polyamory. Mm-hmm. Namely, relationships that don't center around multiple relationships involving love.
Yes.
So, in that case, what types of relationships do you engage in, and why would they fit into non-monogamy rather than polyamory?
Well, for me, I find polyamory, as you were saying, is having multiple, like, really, not really deep, but like love relationships. Whereas for me, I kind of like to have my person, or maybe like one or two of my people that I'm very much in love with or have that stronger connection. But then I also like to have kind of like revolving partners. Mm-hmm. Usually they're people that don't even live either in the city or sometimes even the country. So it's nice to have them kind of be like, hey, I'm going to be around for a week or two. And then I get that time with them or what have you. So it's more so for me, it's like I like to have my relationship and then I like to have partners. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I would challenge that and say that that's still polyamory, mm-hmm. because you're open to having multiple relationships that satisfy both nurturance and eroticism, mm-hmm. both love and pleasure. So the way I see it is, I don't think that it would be exclusive for somebody to consider themselves polyamorous and have a single primary partner that they're in love with, mm-hmm. and to have rotating partners that they play with. So long as they're allowed to go on dates with other people and explore that, that is open to the idea that it may develop into something more than just a one-nighter or a series of, you know, exchanges of pleasure and sex, then I would see that as entirely different from swingers, mm-hmm. where maybe dating people outside of the couple swapping is not permitted, or it might be, or open relationships where, you know, you're allowed to do certain amounts of things under certain boundaries. So I, because those were the exclusions, those were the supposed to be the two things that kind of exist outside of polyamory that are part of non-monogamy, mm-hmm. open relationships and swinging. Mm-hmm. Would you accept my challenge that you're still by some means of the term polyamorous?
I would, yeah. Yeah. I'm not always like, oh, I'm not polyamorous.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like, people will ask what the difference is to me. But I've also had moments where people will be like, you're not polyamorous enough, or yeah, you're too monogamous minded. So for me, that's where I kind of started drawing the line of kind of understanding that. But for me, it's still fluid terms. I'm still very new to the whole polyamory, non-monogamous thing. I've only been out of that engagement I was talking about for like 4 or 5 years. So I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, for me, I think polyamory is more so an ethos, a kind of thing that you embrace as an idea. It's not necessarily always a practice, mm-hmm. because I can be polyamorous and have no partners.
That's,
I could
true,
be,
yeah.
you know, solo and still have the mentality that if I engage with somebody, I want to have a consensual, ethical relationship with them where I disclose that I'm interested in other people and I don't want exclusivity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there might be a point where, you know, you get into a relationship with somebody and you say, well, this person wants exclusivity and I'm willing to do that for them.
Yeah.
So then you go monogamous. But there's no default, right?
Exactly.
When somebody says you're not polyamorous enough, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if somebody's not in a relationship, they could still be monogamous. They could still be whatever. So I don't think it depends necessarily on your practices as it does on your set of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That was nice. Got that.
Got that bone. We picked that bone
that
clean.
That bone is picked.
That bone is picked. Well, let's move on to other bones.
Mm-hmm.
Kink, fetish, BDSM. These are avenues that I don't really know that much about you, because I've seen you, I think, at fetish events. I'm pretty sure I have. Mm-hmm. You've got the attire.
I do.
Well.
It's my favorite part.
Is it?
Yes.
The dress up?
Oh, yes.
Isn't it wonderful? You get to experience Halloween like almost every month.
Yes.
Right?
And I tell people at work, not specifically what I'm going to, mm-hmm. but people will actually come into my work and be like, Megan, like, what event's coming up? What are you wearing? And I'll be like, this one's not safe for work, but like, this is what I'm wearing. And like, show them. And certain people are like, oh my God. Like, yeah, so it's a good time.
So what is the wearing of fetish attire for you? Is it to highlight certain practices that you're interested in? Or is it more so just a thing that makes you feel sexy or empowered?
Yeah, I just feel empowered, really sexy. I love walking into a room and like, people turning and looking at me and I'm like, yeah, hi.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that's where I've been.
And usually I'm actually quite shy for how not shy I seem most of the time. So I really express and like kind of go out of my box with clothing, especially at like kink events and stuff like that, because I can really push boundaries and see how far I can go in different ways without it even having to be anything physical. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in these kink, fetish, BDSM events and whatnot, you go, you have your attire. Are you interested in any of the particular activities? Rope bondage. I mean, I'm not going to go through the entire list of things. Power play, dynamics and whatnot. Do any of these things play a role in your relationships? Is it something that you like to practice?
I do practice every once in a while. It's not like my main thing to practice kinks or anything like that, but I do love bondage more so from like an art perspective. Like I love looking at it. I love seeing the lines and like the differences in skin, stuff like that. So for me, it's like very visual. Other things,
voyeuristically visual, or also do you ever top or bottom in rope situations, for example?
I bottom. Okay, yeah.
So you do participate.
Yeah,
but not you also often, enjoy. Yeah, but you also enjoy watching it
exactly.
A lot more. Okay,
and like because I like seeing it on myself as well. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I do enjoy like having more subdominant, like dom sub relationships, because I'm quite submissive. So I do really enjoy that. Those are kind of my main ones.
Yeah. Do you find that you explore different sort of power dynamics with different people, different identities and whatnot?
Sure, yeah. I'm very much a chameleon in the way that whatever kind of my partner likes, I will dabble in and see kind of what I like within that. I'm very much a person that likes to explore things, even if I don't really know what I'm doing. So I love it when people will take the lead and be like, okay, let's try this out. And I'll be like, okay, I'll tell you if I hate it. Like, that's very much the way I kind of navigate through even all these scenes and stuff like that.
So that makes me want to ask this question, which mm-hmm. is totally fair if you don't want to answer it. But have you found any hard no's in your explorations?
Kind of.
You found some hard limits?
I've found some, like, let's not do that again. But it really depends on my mood as well and, like, what the scene is. So sometimes I'll be, like, not into it. Like, we're not doing that. And then other times I'll be, like, let's give it a try one more time. But it's very... I can be hard to read sometimes with people because they never really know. Like, I have to communicate more, obviously. But they never really know if it's a hard limit that day or not. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's like some things that I'm like, I'd rather not, but if I'm in the right mindset, then I'll give it a go.
Okay, yeah. So kind of willing to explore most often.
Yes.
But you do need to find ways to communicate that on mm-hmm. on a sort of daily basis,
mm-hmm.
which is good because it's important to reiterate that for people that get into these sorts of relationships, that consent is ongoing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, what's sexy one day may
not
be
the next.
Be the next day. So the next thing I want to ask is, how do you find that, you know, the kink, fetish, and poly communities have helped you understand things differently or maybe grow or maybe not? Have any of these experiences being part of this in the last 5 years changed anything for you?
Literally my entire life.
Okay.
Like, 100%.
I didn't want to suggest too much with that question. I was leaning towards like, yeah, tell me all the good things. But, you know, that might not be the case. But yeah, thank you.
I mean, as I was saying, I was engaged from 17 until like 20-something, my early 20s. And I'm 28 now. So I was supposed to get married when I was 23. So I've been like just about 5 years into exploring things that are more me. My relationship as well was not really a great one. He was very like not super controlling, but yeah, so I didn't really have a lot of time to find out about myself other than whatever that relationship wanted of me. So upon meeting all these new people and experiencing different things, I started going out more because I never went out anywhere. Yeah, started having friends, started talking more because I never really used to talk. That was one of the things, was that I wasn't really supposed to talk when I was in my past relationship, which is really ridiculous.
Who said this?
My ex-fiance.
Your ex-fiance
yeah.
didn't want you
at,
to
like,
speak.
Parties and stuff. He'd be like,
oh.
Yeah. So I would talk more and
Can we make a little, like, side note on that one? If you've have that in your relationship or you heard this, that is absolutely 100% a toxic behavior.
Yes.
You are, do not try to control your partner's body, your partner's image, your partner's behavior in public or private spaces.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember when I wanted to ask about grooming?
Yeah, there it is.
There could still be grooming even if they're your same age, because that's still part of a grooming process, right? It's that whole, like, they want a proper, whatever the fuck that means, a proper woman or a proper partner, a proper whatever.
Yeah. Oh. So I had a lot of that, so I never used to do much. I was never going out. I didn't really have friends when I was in Toronto until, like, I met all these people. So I've really kind of come out of my shell in 100 different ways, explored different things. I like perform a lot more now, like I dance and stuff like that, and I'm more readily like ready to go out and do those things. So yeah, I go to a bunch of crazy things. My Tuesdays are not everyone else's Tuesdays. Like, people are like, your life is so crazy. I'm like, it's a Monday. Like, it's fine.
So. Tell me more about these wild Tuesdays. What do you do?
A lot. Lots of weird parties. Or I have friends that are in sex work and stuff like that. So they'll invite me over for a casual dinner. But then they'll have, like, their, like, house slaves or whatever doing stuff for us,
butlering and
exactly serving. Yeah. I'll like drop something on the floor and go to pick it up. They're like, what, why are you doing that? This is what he's for. And I'll be like, oh yeah, hey. So
I've been to a party where there was a slave as a butler.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's hard to know what to do around them, because you're like, I want to respect, you know, your identity or what you're into, but I don't want to treat you like shit.
Exactly.
I feel bad.
I know, like, right? But then as the night goes on, I'm like, hey.
Then you get into it.
Yeah.
And you're like, grabbing them by their hair and putting their face in the mess. Like, why didn't you clean this up earlier?
My favorite one was, I was really like, it was my first kind of dom party that I went to that my friend threw with all of her like subs. And by the end of it, I got this guy to go up and down the stairs at least 10 times to get me a drink, but I kept telling him he was doing it wrong. Oh, it was fantastic. I was laughing so hard by the end of it.
You love it or what?
Great. Yeah. It was nice.
Oh my. Mm-hmm. So get this. Here's what I'm thinking. You are at an event now, dressed up in your full gear. You're feeling sexy, empowered. You're there with your friends. You're dancing. You're having a good time. And who should walk into this crowd but your ex, fiance? What would he think seeing you come out of your shell such as you are now?
He would probably be jaw to the floor. He would probably be like, whoa, just... I feel like since it's been such a long time now and I've changed in certain ways, I feel like he'd still be interested and be like, whoa, like, who is she? And then probably try to say hello or whatever, but I'd probably just laugh.
Go get me a drink 10 times and then we'll see.
We'll see where we go from there.
Put on this cage. No, lower. That's where it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you don't talk in public.
Exactly. Oh, this is great. Right.
I'm living vicariously through your past experiences here, enjoying myself. You got to write a script for this.
Yes.
Oh, it'll be good. Okay. Let me get to my next question then. What part of these sex positive communities have become sort of part of your identity? Or do you not really, have you not necessarily created your identity with these sorts of labels? Because you seem like a person who fluctuates, but I don't know, maybe these things have helped you identify certain aspects of your personality, of who you are, and maybe you do have some labels.
I would say you're right, like I fluctuate often, so I always like being in different environments and like seeing how I do in different environments. So I feel like I don't really have any labels that I've put on myself, because I feel like there's not one part of me that's super one way, which I really enjoy, because I like to experience as much as I can, so.
All right. So the next thing I want to ask you is, how do you define love, sex, sexuality, and pleasure? Are they embodied experiences, or do some of them have a spiritual aspect for you?
That's a good question.
Hence my eyebrow raise.
Eyebrow raise. I definitely separate love and sex 100%. sex is something I can just do whenever. Love is very different, very spiritual. It's hard for me to like love people. So if somebody can get past and like get in there, then I'm like, shit, okay. So that's that. pleasure goes along with love for me.
Not with sex.
Kind of. I kind of get more pleasure from the experience around sex rather than the sex itself, if what that makes any sense.
Help me understand that.
So for me, I don't really get as much pleasure as I would say most people do from sex, but I enjoy everything around it, whether it's getting dressed up to like be sexy, just like anything that happens before, like chatting or whatever, like the chase. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, I'm just like, okay, we're here. But if somebody else in like is having a great time, then I get more pleasure from them having a great time more so than the feeling of having sex.
So then you kind of need that feedback from your partner to be able to enjoy it yourself.
Exactly. However, if I'm like very much in love with somebody, then it's different. Like sex gets more pleasurable for me, I guess. So
yeah, there's probably less inhibitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And more familiarity, connection, intimacy.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you find that it's possible to create some kind of intimacy with people that you don't have a loving relationship with?
Yeah, definitely. It's just once I get into the term of like love, for me it's very different, but I can still have intimate like friendships and relationships with people.
Somebody asked me the other day if it's possible to make love to somebody that is a stranger.
Yeah, I think so.
How does it work?
I feel like maybe not so much for me, as I just pointed out how it works for me, but I feel like some people can really put themselves into a place where they are making love with somebody and like having kind of those emotions, but it just be through physicality.
So what would be the difference between then having really passionate, intimate sex with somebody you just met versus making love?
I guess I consider that the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So in making love, you don't necessarily need to be in love with the person.
No. It just has to be like, you have to, for me, I feel like it would be, you'd have to feel those emotions and like be really into it, be very much in the moment with them. Kind of more of a spiritual connection through sex rather than through the people.
So then have you ever made love to somebody that you weren't in love with?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, now that we're talking this out.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little something about it. You're just leaving me. I'm here. I'm looking at him. Like, I want to know about this. If you're willing to talk about it, of course.
I mean, I just like realized it. But yeah, super recently, actually. It's probably one of the first times that I've actually really enjoyed sex and like had the most pleasure in a very long time, I would say. With somebody just that I'd met maybe like four or five times. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is possible.
It is possible.
you heard it from experience now. When you said that there's a spiritual dynamic to love for you, what do you mean by spiritual?
I feel like sometimes when I have a relationship with somebody and it surpasses like everything, gets into love, there's certain things where it's just like unspoken, and I don't even really know how to explain it, but
you talk about the feeling.
Yeah.
Right? What does it make you feel? What are some ways that you could describe a person who fits that role? If you were to describe them, I don't know, loyal, trustworthy, dependent, you know, warm, any of these sorts of descriptors, what would describe that for you, and what would transcend the physical in that sense that could possibly be spiritual?
I feel like just connection. like, I know that's super broad, but for instance, my best friend and we're in love with each other. And she says it all the time, and I say it all the time. And
we've is this the friend I met recently?
Oh, yeah. She's so cute. We've decided that we're getting married.
Another engagement. Okay.
Yes. Third one's the charm.
Third?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute.
Second one didn't really count.
Why are you doing this to me? You can't just skip a whole second engagement when it's so clearly related. Well, what do you mean the second one didn't count?
The second one didn't
count. Was it another yes weekend?
Not necessarily. That one was more so somebody I met, we had started dating, and it was like fine, everything was fine, but it wasn't anything super deep. Mm-hmm. But he had wanted to stay in Canada. He's from England, and he wanted to stay in Canada.
So I was like,
let's get married. But then the parameters had kind of changed in our relationship because he started falling for me much harder and faster than I was with him, and I was like, so we're not getting married anymore. And I moved out. So yeah, but that's fine.
This person get deported?
No, he married somebody else after me.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And now he's like a devoted husband and a father. Yeah. Super monogamous. Like, we're not allowed to hang out when I go to Vancouver. Monogamous.
How many bullets are you able to dodge?
Let's see.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So third time's the charm with your bestie.
Yeah.
I met her recently when I saw you recently. She seemed wonderful.
Yeah.
I liked her sense of humor.
She's very funny.
It was so quick. I made a joke and she just rolled with it. It was a loud environment, so I was surprised. Looked at her with an eyebrow. I was like, I like this person.
Yeah. Awesome. But it's like with her, it's just like full connection. Me and her can just hang out and not talk to each other. But like we're actually very codependent on each other. We live a few doors down from each other. Yeah. So I would say that's the person that I'm in love with right now. And like, who could just have all of me. So, and she feels the same way with me. So I'm always just like...
Well, everyone's always harping about marry your best friend. So, third time might be the charm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need to get married. But if you do, please have a really wild...
we've ordeal. Planned it. It's going to be a time.
Can I get an invitation?
Yeah, for sure.
I'll come there with my intellectual erection t-shirt.
It'll be in Europe, though. So.
Where in Europe?
We're thinking either the south of France or somewhere in Italy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's going to be insane.
That's going to be Nice.
Yeah.
Get it? Thank you. I'm done here. That's my time.
I leave.
Great. Okay. So you figured it all out, it seems. You know where you're going. Getting married to your best friend. Gonna have a great life. Mm. Everything's gonna be good. But, dun, dun, dun. Even though you've been around for 5 years, experiencing all these cool and wonderful things, are there any fantasies that still exist in your head that have yet to be fulfilled? Things that you want to try, and if so, would you talk about them?
There's definitely things I want to try.
What are Megan's unfulfilled fantasies? Penetrating question.
Again, it's hard for me to like know because I have to see it, or I need to like be in the environment, and then I'll be like, yes, I want to do that. So for me to just sit here and think about it, I'm like, oh, what do I want to try?
Well, have you been in an environment where you've watched people engage in a certain activity that you haven't got to try, and you're like, that might be something I'd want to try?
Yeah, but I've tried most of those, well, all of them. So, because I'm usually there with somebody that would facilitate. So I'd be like, okay, this here, circle that. Waterboarding, that's one that I haven't actually, that just popped into my head.
Like consensual waterboarding?
Yeah.
Okay, how does consensual waterboarding work?
I don't know. I haven't gone that far yet. Well, because you can... How does it work even?
Is it with water?
Yes.
So it's not... It's not...
It's air.
No. I was thinking water sports. It could have been pee.
Oh, no. Waterboarding is like...
Oh, no. I know what waterboarding is. I've never encountered it in a kink or fetish scenario.
Oh, okay.
When you said it, I'm just like, yeah, waterboarding. And I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I've not seen this as part of a sexual activity. though I can imagine, just like anything else, it could be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, some water, bathtub.
Towel over your head?
Mm-hmm.
And then just pouring water.
Yeah.
To get that thrill.
Yeah. But I don't even know if I would get the right thrill, because I've already drowned like 3 times. So...
Why do these things... Why are you not bringing these things up to the surface?
I literally just did.
You're right. Well, I know, but there's like exciting things about you. How did you drown 3 times?
So I only know how to swim every once in a while. I don't get it either. But sometimes, like, I love being in water. Water is the only place I want to be in. So usually if I'm somewhere where there is a pool of water or a body of water, I just run right into it. Like, I don't care. I go for it.
Despite your undecidability on whether you can swim or not.
So sometimes I can swim and it's great. And I'm like, I'm doing it, Mom. And then there's other times where I'm just like, and I obviously shouldn't go out that far. But yeah, I've drowned once when I was like 10 in a public pool, and I woke up on the side of the pool, and it was my friend's 10th birthday party, actually. So that was the first time, and the like lifeguard was like, okay, go get changed and then like come back. We just gotta call your parents and like make sure you're good, maybe take you to the hospital. And I was like, okay, and I just ran home. Like, I just left. Because I wasn't, A, supposed to be at that birthday party, and B, if I had gone to the birthday party, I wasn't supposed to go in the pool, because my mom's like, you can't swim.
Oh, wow.
So don't. And then, so that happened, and I was like, I'm going to get in more trouble than dying if my mom finds out. So just didn't do that. Second time, my friend was trying to teach me to swim in her backyard pool. She did not teach me how to swim. And then third time, I think I was in Jamaica or something. Yeah.
And almost down there, too.
Yeah. But then could swim the next day. And then the lifeguard was like, what the fuck? I was like, I know. I don't.
Are you a cat?
No.
Because you got like 9 lives, it seems like you're...
I am very cat-like sometimes. Yeah. I realize that.
You might be a cat. Or an alien.
A little bit of both.
Or an alien cat.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So one of your fantasies might be waterboarding.
Mm-hmm.
But you may or may not be able to swim, and you may or may not have already experienced some form of waterboarding. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you've tried all these things and you don't really have specific fantasies, do you have any really interesting, wild stories, any favorite stories, encounters, sexiest moments, things that made everything worth it?
Ooh, yes. So this one New Year's, my friend had a New Year's party, and it was a sex party, and I was there with my partner at the time, and then somebody else that is kind of like a revolving person, so he was there, and then this other person that I was kind of seeing every once in a while, too, and it was my first time with, like, 2 guys, so I was sucking my partner's dick, I think. And then there was somebody else behind me, but all I have is a picture of the moment that's kind of blurry, and my other friend laughing hysterically beside me because it was hilarious. But that is my favorite thing, and I still don't really know which of the other 2 guys was behind me in the picture.
So wait, this is an actual picture or a mental picture?
This is an actual picture.
So like, if there's a picture...
I have a picture of it, but you only see me.
Oh, okay.
And then like 2 guys.
Yeah.
And then my friend laughing.
So that's the, what do they call that? The Eiffel Tower?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. But she was partners with one of the other guys, so that's why I think it might have been him. But it could have been a different one. But I just think that's...
You've just never verified.
Never. And I just think it's the funniest thing. It's my favorite picture, and I really want to like have it painted on like velvet and put above my bed. Like,
we'll post it on the Insta for your episode.
Honestly, it's floating around on the internet somewhere.
Blur. Yeah. Hey, how to get shadow banned real quick. Or banned, permanently banned. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was a great New Year's. That was the first time that I was very like show off-ish at like a sex party.
And you're usually not much of an exhibitionist.
No, I usually go and again just enjoy time and like look, and I'm very quiet usually, and I just like to experience, but that was the first time that like I experienced.
So I take this was an MFM threesome.
Yes.
Not an MMF.
No. MFM. Oh. Yes.
You know the distinction?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there was another M running around there too, but...
Well, have you ever had an MMF?
No. Oh, I would like to.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so for those listening that don't know what the hell we're talking about, MFM, male, female, male,
mm-hmm.
two men, one woman, forgive the gender terminology for now, but mm-hmm. it's basically, yeah, the two men are pleasuring the woman and they're whatever, but the men are not interacting.
Mm-hmm.
MMFs, men are also interacting with each other as well as the woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Okay. Well, before I let you go then,
mm-hmm.
is there any place... Are you on social media much?
Yes.
Do you want to do any shout-outs or do you not care for such things?
The first thing I wanted to do is shout out my mom's Instagram, but I'm like, mm-mm. No.
But shout out your ex's Instagrams.
I don't even know it.
Just to talk. Just to talk.
Oh my gosh, that'd be funny.
No, if you do have any shout outs, this is the time. You can go ahead or not.
Shout out to my girl, Princess of Parkdale.
No, I meant for your... I meant shout out your own social media. I'm gonna
leave again?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
No.
We're just gonna.
Actually, no. Yeah, let's do... @Megwin is my Instagram. M-E-G-G-W-I-N.
Megwin. Always winning.
Gotta do it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been fun.
It's been a good time.
All right.
Oh, thank you. You are listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.